Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron, live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that subscribe button. I think it's right down there. Actually, while you're at it, hit the like button down there as well. And if you guys want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Hit up the live chat on YouTube and on X. And let us know what your best bets are for tonight. Let us know where you are watching from as well. Before You Bet is an international sports betting program, so viewers from around the world are welcome to weigh in. Okay, so big show today. Beautiful board in Major League Baseball. Some good-looking betting opportunities in the NBA as well. So we will be attacking those two leagues. And here to do it with me, my partner here. I called him the Magic Ass Man the other day on Friday. I don't think he cared for that nickname. So we'll stick to, I'll call him the Magic Man here today because we're going to be discussing some Orlando Magic here shortly. Mettler, how are you making out?
Good. The big week for the Magic. They can move up in the seeding. They have two games against the Bucks too. So I know we're going to touch on the Bucks. So
absolutely. Let's kick around a couple topics here. Then we're going to get into the betting action. We have eight total picks across the NBA and Major League Baseball. But playoffs right around the corner here in the NBA, obviously. And I kind of got to thinking, you know, there's a pretty big gap between the top two teams in each conference. The Celtics far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference. Minus 175 to make it to the finals, by the way, over at FanDuel. And then you have the Nuggets and a pretty big gap between them and the rest of the Western Conference. Nuggets plus 145 to win the West. So I get to thinking, what are the exact finals matchup odds? Chalky here, not going out on a limb, but Celtics versus Nuggets. Over at FanDuel, you can take that plus 300 right now. I think that's a pretty good bet, considering the Celtics are minus 175 to win the East. What do you think of those odds?
I'm going to say no. I personally wouldn't bet those. The thing that scares me with the Celtics is, one, I don't think their path is as easy as the odds might be saying it is. Currently, we just don't really know where the Philadelphia 76ers fit in this play-in tournament. Do they slide up to the 6, 7, 8? If that's the first-round matchup for the Boston Celtics, I mean, you rewind before Joel Embiid was injured. The Celtics were like the favorites to win the East, and the 76ers were right behind them, 2 or 3. So you're talking that could be their first round matchup. So to me, that doesn't scream like a team that's a massive favorite. If they land, you know, the Pacers or someone, I think everything kind of changes for me on that perception. Just the Nuggets too. The Nuggets, they're a great starting five. I really like them. I just think there's a lot more competition in the West this year than we had last year. Same thing. I'm not totally sold the Nuggets will be that team. You know, Jamal Murray also is coming off the knee injury. He did play last night. Played pretty good. I just think, you know, Timberwolves announced they're getting Karl Anthony Towns back. We also don't really know where the Nuggets are going to fall. 1, 2, 3 seed. That's really up for grabs too. So I think right now in this current state, I think there's just too much uncertainty of like who the Celtics will be playing and who the Nuggets will be playing and like what their path kind of looks at. Maybe 3, 4 days from now, I'll have a different opinion.
Okay. So not on the same page there, but you are right. When you say like all it does take is one injury to completely derail either team. And that's a risk when you're betting chalky favorites, is one injury can derail the whole thing. Spencer Strider to win National League Cy Young. How many people took that bet? Rip up those tickets right away, right? So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to place that bet. I think at plus 300, I think it is worth a shot, but you know, we'll see how things shake out. Okay. So we talked about your Orlando Magic, an up and coming team here throughout the NBA season. The future looks pretty bright, but a bit of a theme and something we've discussed is that they're one player away. I don't know if they truly have that closer on the offensive end. Great defensive team. I do have a prediction, though, and I want to see what you think of it as our resident Orlando Magic fan. So they don't have the offense in their backcourt, right? Decent defensive players for sure. But there is going to be a backcourt player who's one of the premier offensive players in the NBA who will likely be available in the offseason. Of course, I'm talking about Donovan Mitchell. Now, he has a player option after next season. And by all accounts, the Cavs will try to extend him, and he's not interested in doing that. So it looks like they're going to trade him. I think the perfect landing spot would be the Orlando Magic. You know, they got some assets. Maybe Jalen Suggs would go back the other way. They got some first round draft picks. You know, Mitchell was a guy who was always linked to the New York Knicks. That doesn't really make sense anymore with Jalen Brunson. I don't think those two would mix. The Miami Heat would probably try to get in on that. Are they going to off up Tyler Hero again? But yeah, I think the Magic would be a perfect landing spot. What do you think of that?
Yeah, you had me until you said trade Jalen Suggs. I'm just kidding.
Well, but I get a sense. It can't just be picked, you know? No, it's got to be some value coming back.
I think Donovan Mitchell, you're right. The Magic definitely, they need scoring. It's going to come with a backcourt piece. They were talking about their link to Klay Thompson. I personally hope that doesn't happen. I don't want to pay Klay Thompson a bunch of money. Magic do have, they have first round picks. Like they have, you know, their picks. I know they have the Nuggets pick. They also have a pick swap. I think they have a pick swap with the Suns and Wizards where they can grab the best pick in 2026 between the Suns and Wizards, which could be a pretty juicy first round pick. So they have the draft capital. I do like Donovan. You know, the Magic have been linked to multiple guards, kind of Trae Young, Darius Garland's actually been in that mix too. I don't think they'll go after a guard who is like on the ball a lot and like ball dominant, because to a degree, I do think they like having Paolo Banchero handle the ball and Franz Wagner handle the ball. So I think Donovan Mitchell kind of slides in where he is someone who can be on the ball and like create assists and all that kind of stuff. But he also can defer to Banchero. Like he's like Trae Young wants the ball in his hand 99.9% of the time, right? I just don't think that would work with how the Magic are built. So I do think Donovan Mitchell they would have to commit him to resign. The Magic aren't going to trade all these assets if he's not going to resign. So that would be the big piece there. That would really help them. I'd be pumped.
Okay, so on the same page here. Last but not least, we got to talk Milwaukee Bucks, Doc Rivers. This could be a pending disaster. Last year at this time, the Bucks were one of the favorites to win the NBA championship. I think they were maybe my pick, actually, at this point last year. And things completely fell apart. And things are falling apart right now. So they brought Doc Rivers in. They got off to a bad start. Everyone kind of mocked them. It looked like they were maybe starting to put it together. Now they're 2-6 in their last eight games with losses to the Wizards, Grizzlies, and Raptors in there. And I got to thinking, what happens if they need to fire Doc Rivers? I just don't think that they're going to be able to do it. I think that they're completely stuck with this guy for the simple reason that they already have two other head coaches on the books. They're paying Mike Budenholzer to the end of next season, and they got to be paying Adrian Griffin to the end of the 2027 season. Are they just stuck with Doc Rivers? Like, this could be a complete and total disaster because they're not going to fire the guy. And the players might go to management and say, you got to get rid of this guy. And management's like, we can't afford to get rid of this guy. And it could completely derail the organization. Do you think I'm being too dramatic here?
No, I do think their organization is in trouble. I think they made too many moves and they kind of, now they don't have any moves left. you know, I think the mistake they made, I think if they were going to run back the Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo team, I think a coaching switch might have been a good move there, you know, just to see something different. I think where they messed up is they did the coaching switch and then they kind of hopped in the Damian Lillard sweepstakes. And they weren't ever planning on actually doing that. So it was like too many changes. And it's just, you know, they were 30-13 when they fired Adrian Griffin too. They're what now, 15-17 with Doc Rivers. Like that's a drastically different win percentage when you're paying Adrian Griffin all the time. I think they are running out of moves and it's not looking even better because Giannis Antetokounmpo here is out the rest of the regular season. He probably is going to miss the start of a playoff series and the Bucks could fall. Like the Magic play them twice. The Magic can catch them for the two seed here and they could fall multiple spots. And who knows what that first round series looks like for them. If they go out in the first round after firing Adrian Griffin and then hiring Doc Rivers, that looks, not great.
Yeah, it's just there's no backfire point. After backfire after backfire. And I think kind of the straw that broke the camel's back with Mike Budenholzer was when they obviously lost in the first round to the Miami Heat there last season. Obviously, maybe not that great of a head coach, but maybe a bit of an overreaction too, considering they have a pretty valid excuse as to why they lost that series with Giannis getting injured. I think he missed a game and a half and was injured throughout the rest of the series. But yeah, things aren't looking too good here for the Milwaukee Bucks. If they don't at least make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, not pretty. I would say a bit of a disaster given all the moves that they have made. Okay, Mettler, that's enough small talk, news items of the day. Let's get into some trends here and some best bets of the night for the NBA. So we have a lot favoring the Dallas Mavericks here tonight, just trend-wise. So they're on fire as a bet here. 15-2 against the spread in their last 17 games overall. They're also favored by 3.5 on the road in Miami. They are a league best, 18-4 against the spread as a road favorite. And second game of a back-to-back for them. They're 10-3 against the spread in the second game of a back-to-back. Now we look at Miami, 1-8 against the spread as a home underdog this season. Terry Rozier and Hero, both questionable. He coming off a double overtime win last night as well. Who knows? They might be a little gassed. Another trend sticking out to me, Toronto. You see them as a double-digit underdog in Brooklyn? Really? The Nets are favored by 10 points? Yeah. Check out the Raptors here as a big underdog. 3-12 against the spread in their last 15 games as an underdog of 8 or more points. Kind of funny situation here for the Nets. They were a double-digit underdog last time out, a double-digit favorite the game before that. And here we have them as a double-digit favorite once again. They have covered in 7 of their last 8 games versus the Raptors. Then we have one for the two teams we're talking about here, Milwaukee and Orlando, getting after tonight. Milwaukee has gone under the first quarter total in 9 of their last 10 games. The first quarter total for this game set at 55.5. And what do you know? Orlando is the top first quarter under team in the NBA this season. Milwaukee first in first quarter points allowed over the last 10. Orlando 28th in first quarter scoring. And then one, I don't know, this might be more coincidental than anything. Minnesota 10-2 to the over when in the second game of a back-to-back. That's the situation they're in tonight. Total of 213.5 in Denver. Probably won't be playing that one. I got to play that Dallas Mavericks one just out of principle. Just everything seems to be aligning there. And I'm going to take the first quarter under there, Milwaukee and Orlando. Any of those stand out to you, Mettler?
The Toronto one. Toronto got off to, I think they're up 10, 12 points last night on the Pacers in the first quarter, and they still got blown out. So the fact that they're, you know, it was 3-15 as double-digit underdogs. I mean, Toronto's trying to keep that first-round pick. They don't want to send it to the Spurs. So they're also at the back end of a back-to-back, and you're traveling from Toronto to Brooklyn. I imagine some people will probably be ruled out for the Raptors tonight. The Dallas one, I might throw a wrench in your Dallas one with my player prop pick, so I'll save it for the player prop pick.
Okay. Yeah, that Toronto tank, we should have saw it coming because their pick is top 6 protected, I believe. And I think Toronto waited too long to kind of start the rebuild. But I think it was Bill Simmons who pointed it out around the All-Star break. He took their recommended their team total under, like at that point of the season. And yeah, they've completely fallen off of a cliff. So yeah, those are the trends of the night for the NBA. Now the prop picks of the night, Mettler, we'll let you take over here. Let's get started. 3 different assist props. Kyrie Irving, what do you like for him?
Yeah, so I'm going Kyrie Irving over 4.5 assists, even money. So this is where I was talking about, I might throw a little wrench into your Mavericks trend there, is that I'm not positive that Luka Doncic is playing tonight. He's not on an injury report. That's not been reported anywhere. If you just look at how the standings are falling, the Mavericks, you know, they technically could catch the Clippers for the 4 seed. It's very, very unlikely. And they technically could still lose the division to the Pelicans. It's also extremely unlikely. Likely they're just kind of falling into that number 5 spot in the standings. They've already clinched a top 6 spot. I just don't think the Mavericks are really, they are, but they aren't playing for something tonight. And, you know, Luka Doncic was, he sat out last Friday. It was the back end of a back-to-back. And that was a spot where, you know, there's a little more uncertainty with where the Mavericks would fall in the standings with so much, with that, you know, having kind of have a much clearer picture today. I just don't see, I think it's a very real possibility that he sits out tonight and Kyrie Irving gets to run the show against the Miami Heat. Like, why would you put Luka Doncic in a kind of, not meaningless, there is a meaning to it, but why would you put him in a game, especially against Jimmy Butler? Like, why do you want him to go head-to-head against Jimmy Butler in this game? You know, Kyrie Irving, even if Doncic, the thing is, I like this bet if Doncic is playing. I just think if there's a chance we catch an additional boost here and all of a sudden he gets ruled out unexpectedly and Irving, you know, gets to dominate the ball. If Doncic is playing, you know, the last time they played, Jimmy Butler was the primary defender on Doncic. That's not really a matchup you want to go head-to-head to. You want to swing, go to the other side where Kyrie Irving's going head-to-head against Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier. So I just think Irving will be on the ball more in general if they are playing together. I just do think there's a chance. We'll see. I just think there's a chance he might not play tonight.
Okay, yeah, you might want to keep your eyes peeled for Luka's status tonight. I don't think that spread's going to get any higher, so I think you are safe to wait until Luka is officially in or out. Yeah, so keep that one on your radar before you hit the bet button. Next up, Chet. What do you like for him?
Yeah, so I'm going Chet Holmgren over 1.5 assists. It was -115. This is very about the matchup with the Spurs and Wembanyama. You know, it's a personal matchup. They've gone head to head here a couple times. I posted a clip on Twitter. If you know, Wembanyama is like the ultimate rim protector. He changes shots. He changes how you like anyone who goes in the paint. They have second thoughts about how they want to score. The thing is, Chet Holmgren is someone, you know, he's mobile. He can shoot the three. He's someone who can pull Wembanyama away from the rim. He's also someone they can use to like distract Wembanyama. You don't want just Holmgren standing in the corner and, you know, Wembanyama is able to keep his eyes on SGA or Jalen Williams, and he's able to play help defense. You want, you know, Wembanyama focusing his attention on Holmgren, which means get the ball to Holmgren, kind of have him grab that attention, Wembanyama, and then he sets up a play. So I just think Holmgren's going to be like, have a pretty high usage and touching the ball a lot. I just don't think from a scorer standpoint, I think it'll be more from a facilitator standpoint. This is a back end of the back-to-back too for the Spurs. I'm not entirely sure if Wembanyama is playing. If Wembanyama doesn't play, it's still just a total of 1.5 -115. That would just kind of flip where they would start to feed Holmgren to score, and then you could lead to more passes too. So I think either way here with the Spurs, there's something here with the Holmgren assist prop, especially 1.5 -115. This is really low for Holmgren.
Yeah, I see possible rest for Wemby tonight, so yeah. We shall see. Okay, next up, let's bring it home in our NBA section of the show. Grayson Allen, everyone's favorite Dookie. What do you like for him?
So I'm going over 2.5 assists. So if you saw the Clippers and Suns played last night, the Clippers were up 35-4 in the first quarter. The Suns couldn't score at all, but they actually made it a game. They actually did come back, and they cut to single digits in the second half, and they did that with a small ball lineup. And so Yusuf Nurkic was out. They did start Drew Eubanks, but he basically got faded. And, you know, and they started to go with the four guards, and they added Royce O'Neal to the lineup. I think you'll probably see that. I don't know if they'll like 100% start that lineup, but I think you'll see it very fast. I think that's the lineup they're going to run with for the majority of the minutes. So it just kind of brings like an element of Grayson Allen's minutes that we're kind of projecting should be pretty secure. Like there's just not any subs on the Suns who can take those minutes away from him, especially if Yusuf Nurkic isn't playing. He is questionable, but Frank Vogel made comments yesterday saying he sprained his ankle pretty bad. So to me, that tells me he's probably not playing today. Grayson Allen, you know, they had a lot of success too. They're running like ghost screens with Bradley Beal, and Bradley Beal was getting layups after layup after layup. The Clippers should make an adjustment to, you know, cut off Bradley Beal, but it would also lead to him swinging it to Allen, which could get more potential assists for Allen. And Allen, honestly, Allen is just a shooter. That's kind of like the perception of him. He gets to make a lot of passes in this offense, a lot more than you'd think. Like even last night against the Clippers, he made 10 more passes than Durant and one less than Booker. So he's very involved. He gets to touch the ball a lot. So 2.5 -105, count me in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Grayson Allen's a free agent after this year. And yeah. If that is indeed true, he's probably going to get paid a lot of money. And it won't be by the Phoenix Suns because they won't be able to afford him.
Yeah, they're projecting like $20 million a year for him. He's leading the league in 3-point percentage. So there's a role for people who can shoot.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of value in those guys. Okay, a couple of people weighing in the chat. Kyle Clement, he's on the same side as me here with the Mavs. Hopefully we don't get burned by Luka sitting out. And then Sleazy, new viewer, I think. Welcome to the show, Sleazy. He says he highly suggests Nuggets -2 in the first quarter over a 70% win rate. Now, I don't know if that's over the course of the season or at home. Sleazy, let us know a little bit more context into that 70% win rate. If you want to tail that, you should probably look into that a little bit. Okay, good start to the Major League Baseball season for me, so I'm going to try to keep it going here. An absolute avalanche of picks here today, three of which are for these late afternoon games. Love afternoon Major League Baseball action. So let's start with probably my favorite type of bet in all of sports betting. Of course, it is a walk prop. Let's start things off with Austin Gomber of the Colorado Rockies. Over 1.5 walks, -120, taking on the D-backs here. So 6 walks and 2 starts this season. It's not like he's going deep into these games, too. I had just 8.2 innings of work in those two starts. One of these starts came against the D-backs, where he had three walks. He's had at least two walks in his three starts against Arizona since the start of last season. And that's all led to a 13.75 walk percentage versus Diamondbacks hitters. Now, to put that number in perspective, the Yankees have the highest walk rate in baseball this season at 12.7. And Arizona, just to bring this one all together, they have the fifth most walks in baseball so far this season. So I think a pretty good spot for the over on the Gomber walk total. People sometimes ask me where you can bet them at. You can bet those at a lot of sports books. I typically grab them at DraftKings or over at Bet365. FanDuel does not offer a walk prop betting. Okay, team total play here. The Nationals in San Francisco later this afternoon. I'm going to take over 3.5 on their team total. +108, facing a right-handed starter here. And what do you know? They are smashing righties to start the season, fourth in OPS. They're taking on Jordan Hicks, who's off to a great start, to be completely fair in his two starts, but maybe due for a bit of regression here, because coming into the season, he had a 5.47 career ERA as a starter. Most of the work in his career has been out of the bullpen. And even if they don't totally light up Hicks, I think they got a shot to light up this bullpen because the Giants' bullpen has been a disaster. They have a 6.10 ERA, the fourth worst in Major League Baseball. Next up, let's keep on rolling here. Zach Lytle. Not exactly a household name here for the Rays. He's off to a good start, though. I'm going to take under 2.5 earned runs for him. A little bit of plus money there, +105. So a razor sharp start for him, a 177 FIP. Most importantly, just one earned run allowed in 11 innings of work against the Blue Jays and at Coors Field against the Rockies. He is a right-handed pitcher. Angels below average versus righties here so far this season, 21st in OPS with a lot of strikeouts. And the situation for him, he usually splits time as a starter and a reliever. He does his best work as a starter and during the daytime. So his career ERA as a starter, almost a full run lower compared to his time out of the bullpen. And when he pitches in a day game compared to a night game, ERA well lower than a full run there in day games. Some people laugh at that split, but these pitchers are creatures of habit. And some guys perform different based on the time of day than where they are pitching. Let's go into these early evening games. I'm going to take Kyle Hendricks of the Cubs to go under 17.5 outs recorded. This is another bet type, not available at FanDuel. People ask me where I bet this. I usually bet it at DraftKings or at Bet365. And I think a bunch of other sports books offer this option as well. So under 17.5 outs. Atrocious start to the season for Hendricks. 10 total earned runs, 21 base runners allowed, and just 7.2 innings of work in two starts. So 12 outs recorded in one game, 11 outs recorded in another. This is a guy who typically doesn't go very deep into a pitch count, under 85 pitches in both games this season. He's using up a lot of pitches early. He stayed under 90 pitches in more than half of his starts last season. And this is a good matchup for this bet because he is a low strikeout pitcher facing a low strikeout team. So his K total today, his strikeout total, set at 3.5 with the under juice to -180 on 3.5. San Diego striking out at the third lowest percentage versus right-handed pitching. So expect to see a lot of balls in play for the Padres. San Diego off to an above average start versus right-handed pitching. So I think they're going to be able to chase him inside of six innings. And let's bring it home with going back to the well on a similar play that I made yesterday. Maryland starter Ryan Weathers going to take under 14.5 outs recorded. Plus money, +110 at Yankee Stadium versus, of course, the Yankees. Great numbers versus left-handed pitching for the Yankees. Third in WRC plus, low strikeout percentage of 20.7 for them. And I like their chances of teeing off on Weathers here. He has a career ERA of 5.78. He stayed under this mark of 14.5 outs recorded, 8 of his last 10 starts going back to last season. Of course, it's not rare to see a high pitch count early from Weathers. And this is a man who has serious control issues. He cannot be trusted. His over-under walk total set at 3.5 today. I don't know if I've ever seen that before. So he has walk issues, 5 walks on the season already. That's a carryover from last season. And he's taking on the Yankees, who have the highest walk percentage in baseball. So expect to see a lot of traffic on the bases there for the Yankees. So five total bets for Major League Baseball, three total bets for the NBA tonight. Sleazy weighing back in. They have the highest scoring team right now for first quarter points over the season at 34.7. Yeah, taking on the T-Wolves, who are in the second game of a back-to-back. So, yeah, maybe not a bad look there. The Nuggets minus two in the first quarter. Mettler, big week coming up for me. I'm taking off to Las Vegas here tomorrow morning to cover UFC 300. We're going to have a ton of content on our social media channels. So make sure you follow Covers over on X, Instagram, TikTok. Follow me, JTFOZ, on Instagram and on X, of course. I don't have TikTok. I might be too old for it. Do you use TikTok? I'm too old for it, I think. What about you?
I don't have an account, but I see enough of them because my wife shows me like five a day. So,
oh, I spend way too much time on social media as it is. It's not good for your mental health, I don't think. Too much crap on there. Let the people know what you have going on the rest of the week here at Covers.
Well, first of all, when you're giving those breakdowns, I pulled out my phone and bet Zach Littell. Vitel, a Rays pitcher I've never heard of. Yeah, he's probably gonna throw darts. I've never heard the name before, so I was like, sure, I'll place that bet for sure.
Yes, sir.
But other than that, so you can follow me on X at John Mettler, and I write articles daily for covers.com. And we also do an NBA release show Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10:30 a.m. And I do that with Adam Scherher from EV Analytics. And yesterday he swept the board, so I think you should watch tomorrow.
There you go. That's why you want to stay subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel so you don't miss a damn thing. So yeah, 10:30 Eastern tomorrow, you said, for the show?
Yep, 10:30.
Yeah, so if you want more NBA, it's broken down a little bit differently than we do on the show here. And yeah, the boys are winning. They swept the board there yesterday. So if you want more NBA props, of course you do, with the playoffs right around the corner, you're going to want to check John out on that show. Okay, so that does it for today's program here, Mettler. I'm going to be off of the show on Friday and Monday. We're still going to keep you covered, though. I'm going to be back next week where we're going to be jumping into the NFL draft. And, of course, we're still going to keep on going here with our avalanche of NBA and Major League Baseball action. So, John, thanks for joining. Best of luck with your bets. And to all the viewers out there, thank you for watching. And best of luck with your bets tonight. Woo!